hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you guys the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Wednesday today. Got a lot of stories for you today, so it's going to be a good show. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, blessed beyond measure. Today's a great day. You know, a few weeks ago I was talking about how the government had disclosed that it actually had a UFO program going on. They were spending $22 million a year, but they had canceled the program, which is a lie, and it's a lot more than $22 million a year. And they basically gave us a soft disclosure as far as now they know UFOs are real. And what's interesting about this is I basically started doing some research online, and now there are all kinds of other companies. Even the New York Times is running an ad on this, and it says, "Glowing Auras and Black Money, the Pentagon's Mysterious UFO Program." It starts talking about what the government is spending about the unidentified flying objects. Then another article says, "The Pentagon's Secret Search for UFOs" in Politico magazine, and funded at the request of Harry Reid, the government probed a number of encounters military pilots had with aircraft that were UFOs. And then I pull up another article, and it said the aliens are coming, and this is by Postpartisan. Postpartisan opinion says the aliens are coming and no one cares. Listen to this. It says the New York Times reported this weekend that the Pentagon houses a program devoted to the study of unidentified flying objects. The Defense Department claims the 10-year-old initiative, this is a lie, been going on since 47, has been shut down, but others say the funding ended and the work has gone on between the officials and other duties in the shadows, as mysterious as its extraterrestrial subjects. The government apparently thinks that these subjects are real enough to have spent $22 million a year on them. And so now it's saying that the thing is that nobody really cares. They said the aliens might be coming, but they're probably not coming anytime soon, which that's not what they said in the government. But it says rate hikes and healthcare collapses and an unopened internet, on the other hand, may all be here to ring in your new year. It's hard to worry about a threat that might exist when there are so many threats that actually do exist right now. And I've got a kick out of this, Austin, because, you know, we have watched so many alien movies, so many movies have been distributed, so many people have become so secular, so many people want the aliens to show up, and they want to be part of the ET group, that they don't really care anymore. They have been so brainwashed and conditioned through Hollywood, which is what the intent was, that now they're having a soft disclosure, and it's not making mainstream news. It's not making the TV at night. You know, the alien channel, the UFO channel, the history channel, whatever you want to call it, it plays these things with ancient aliens literally three or four times a week. It's one of their highest viewerships on the particular shows, and it talks about the aliens. It talks about the UFOs. So I will give these guys credit from a soft disclosure standpoint. They have done a pretty doggone good job in lying to us all these years and making people aware of it, but not really thinking there's much to it and not even realizing the severity of it. And in fact, I mentioned this before, a lot of the reasons that chemtrails are being used, one of the primary reasons from a military domain standpoint, is the evidence and the identification of extra Earth or interstellar or extraterrestrial propulsion system or exotic propulsion systems. One of the things they do when they're flying through a plasma, they put a certain signal out, and apparently our government has been shooting these things down for a long, long time, but they don't want to tell us about the severity of it and how bad it is. But we know from the Book of Enoch and the Old Testament, these fallen angels and these entities have been around for a very, very long time. What do you think?
Yeah, it is pretty wild, but you're exactly right. You called it. You nailed it on the head. They have done this and desensitized us to the aliens with all the movies that they've done through Hollywood to really get everybody on board, so to speak, to where nobody is really going to find it that odd. I guess they figured after Roswell and all those incidents that they had to really start to show us through Hollywood what was going on and what their ideas of what was out there, so they could desensitize us. So, yeah, that's pretty wild. Also, too, the... This happened like last week. I saw this article on Breitbart News involving Disney's. I got two articles with Disney today. Because you already know Disney's wrapped up in all types of weird stuff. Well, the And one individual that was executive, basically, Healy, was the director of music publishing. He's been charged with 3 counts of child sexual abuse on a minor, lewd and lascivious acts on a child as well. So he's basically had to bond out for a $150,000 bond and is now fighting these charges. This is why I always tell you guys that Disney has some weird, weird stuff they've been involved in. But this brings me to my next article. You guys remember right after the Vegas shooting, I said that slowly a lot of these hotels now all across the country are going to start invading your privacy, your rights, and your ability to essentially stay there and not have to deal with ridiculous security measures. Well, Disney's already starting to step up their game as far as invading people's privacy. They started updating their security policies at several of its resorts in Walt Disney World starting the beginning of the year. They said guests staying at one of the 3 monorail hotels, either the Grand Floridian, the Polynesian, or the Contemporary, near the Magic Kingdom, have already experienced the tighter security policies, which also include the removal of the Do Not Disturb door sign. The markers have been swapped out with room occupied signs that will alert maintenance and staff that guests are currently in their room. Well, that doesn't seem that odd at first. When I read that, I was like, well, do not disturb is kind of, you know, whatever. Now they're going to say room occupied. Okay, well, here's where it starts getting very, very creepy now. The sign accompanies another brand new policy that will be requiring Disney employees to enter each hotel room at least one time a day to, and I quote, ensure the safety and security of the guest and property. Under the old rules, employees would pass by rooms marked with do not disturb signs. However, now Disney says the hotel and its staff reserve the right and will be entering your room for any purpose, including but not limited to performing maintenance and repairs or checking on the safety and security of guest and property. The company assures, though, that its guests will be given prior notice to entering the room by knocking and announcing they are now coming in. So they will be coming in the rooms now at least one time a day, whether you were in there or whether you were not in there, to basically spy on you is what it is. Not only is this massively invasive, even if you have your do not disturb sign, or it won't be do not disturb now, it will be room occupied sign on, so they'll just knock. I don't know how this is going to work as far as with the door locks, the safety bolts and stuff they have in those. I've never stayed at those hotels, so I don't know what they have on side the doors, but if Disney's starting to do this now, more hotels are going to start similar things to follow suit. But it's exactly what I said when the incident happened out in Vegas, that this type of stuff was going to slowly start invading you. Now, here's a dilemma that I come into. Now, there's multiple dilemmas. What happens, say, I'm my hotel room. I'm in there. I always have firearms on my person all the time. You guys know that Disney resorts are a no-firearm carry policy on the entire resort. Any private property of Disney, you are technically not allowed to carry a firearm. They completely grenade your Second Amendment rights. I've never cared about that, though, as far as I still carry a firearm regardless. That's why I don't go to Disney in the first place. So what happens if I'm staying at the hotel, I'm in my room, I pull one of my pistols out, I have it on the counter like I normally do beside my keys or my cell phone, and I go out in the hall or I go downstairs and I forget my firearm in the room, and now they bust in the room when I'm gone, you know, to do their one time a day inspection. They come in the room now and they see the firearm there. What is going to be the security protocols now? There's a strong possibility it's probably going to go in full lockdown of the hotel as soon as they see the firearm. That more likely, this is what's going to happen now. They're probably going to immediately confiscate the firearm. They're going to put the entire hotel on alert. They're going to start looking for you, and they're immediately going to call police and security to try to find you and essentially detain you until they can figure out why you have such a scary weapon in your room. This is where it's headed now, as I told you guys before. The malls are gun-free zones. The movie theaters are gun-free zones. The theme parks are gun-free zones. The airports, the Amtrak. Every single thing you almost do now is a gun-free zone. Now when you want to stay at a hotel at one of these places, they are going to make sure they come in your room and monitor you at least one time a day, completely invading your privacy, Dad. What do you think about these guys doing this? Besides the fact of we don't go to Disney, I don't support them regardless, this is more than likely going to be a, you know, ripple effect on other hotels doing this now, invading your privacy with this.
Well, you know, I told you guys that years ago I went into Disney and I had a concealed weapon on me and I was stopped by Disney security. And Disney security basically asked me if I had a weapon on me. And I told them it was none of their business. And then they said, well, I believe I was on the monorail and somebody had seen the silhouette of my gun on my pants. And they said that they thought I might have a gun. So they called the Disney security who stopped me at the front gates. This was the Magic Kingdom. And they told me, they asked me, do you have a gun on you? And I said, it's none of your business what I'm carrying. They said, well, it is our business because you're on private property. We're going to have to ask you to empty your pockets. And I said, you can't tell me to empty my pockets. They said, well, no, we can't force you to empty your pockets, but we will have Osceola Sheriff's Department dispatched and we will have you escorted off the property permanently and you'll never be allowed to come on Disney again. But you're right. We don't have to make you empty your pockets. And I looked at them. I said, you got to be kidding me. And I said, well, since you're giving us a hard time, we're dispatching Osceola Sheriff's Department. And I said, well, wait, hang on a second. I said, you're telling me that my annual passes aren't going to work, that I will have no recourse, I cannot come to Disney, and I don't get a refund on the annual passes. I said, that's exactly right. And I said, well, then, okay. I said, I'm carrying a gun. And about that time, this is how fast it was. About that time, literally a 45-second conversation, Osceola Sheriff showed up and was talking to us. That fast. It was in less than 60 seconds. And when the guy walked up from Osceola Sheriff, they said, is there a problem? They said, no, he's going to cooperate now. And I'm like, this is just nuts. And they said, well, you have one of two choices. You can take your vehicle, you can go back to your vehicle, leave the gun in your car, you can come back into the park, or you can take your gun and you can go ahead and check it in here at the security center, and we'll make sure that you have a ticket for it, and you can get the gun back when you get ready to leave Disney World. And I said, well, I'm not going back to the car. It takes too long. I'll just check it in. So they brought me back into their holy of holies, I guess you'd call it, Austin, the inner sanctum, the inner room. And I cannot believe how many cameras. There was a wall that literally had 100 cameras for just the entrance and sides of the park. This whole security thing was just elaborate. And that's why, you know, I laughed years later when they told me they didn't have any videotape of, you know, an incident that happened on an escalator that I told you guys about, you know, years later where that happened with you. And what was crazy about the whole thing is that I didn't realize just how detail their park was and how many cameras they have there. And sure enough, they had a big locker area, and they gave me a lock and they gave me the key and they had me lock my gun up, and then I came back later and gave them the claim ticket and I left. So I don't know if that's what they're going to do. I think that's what they're going to do, Austin, because there's no way they can impound your weapon. There's no way they can throw you off the property in the park and not have so much political and blowback from their customers that it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, it'll be all over social media that I brought a gun with me to the Magic Kingdom, to my hotel room, and Disney made me leave the property. They can't do that, okay? So what I think they'll probably do is set up a locker facility in which they will force you and require you while you're on their property to keep the gun locked up until you check out of the hotel. I believe that's where it's going. So I think it's ridiculous because the people who don't have, you know, who don't tell the truth, who keep their guns with them all the time or have them properly concealed unless they're going through a metal detector and tripping at Disney World now, it's just a major, major problem. I guess the way Disney looks at it, if they don't do this, and I'm not justifying because I don't like it, but here's how Disney looks at it as far as I'm concerned. If they don't do this, if they don't go to this level of security, and somebody does come to the park, and somebody does have a gun, and somebody does shoot somebody at Disney, and then if Disney's going to be culpable for it because they didn't do proper security measures to start with, then Disney's going to have a massive liability exposure on their hands, and they'll be saying, why didn't we get this done to start with? So that's probably what they're going to do, is set up a locker like they've already got that I've already been exposed to, and make sure you just check your gun in. And that's something that I don't think you should have to do. But again, think about it, guys. When you're on their property, they have the right to tell you that, whether you like it or not. If you're on private property, they have the right to tell you whether you can carry the gun on your property, on their property. So you have, there are another 1,000 hotels in Orlando, literally besides that, and Bed and Breakfast is probably 500 hotels anyhow. You can go to all these other hotels that are not on Disney property and just drive back and forth to the theme parks every single day and not deal with that stepped up enhanced security. So guys, I don't know. It's private property. That's why, Austin, when people have signs on their windows at their stores and they say this is a gun-free zone, concealed permit work holders are not allowed to carry guns into this building, I don't do business with them. And that's pretty much where I am with Disney now. I have ceased doing business with Disney. I have not bought annual passes probably in five to seven years. I have no intentions on ever paying for another ticket to get into Disney World, the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, or any of those places, guys. So that's my opinion on it, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, and that's pretty much my same stance on it. My aspect, too, is like I said, too, I mean, the invasion of privacy of these guys going to be busting in your room now once a day to basically do a room wellness check on you as well. And it's like you said, I mean, yes, they'd be culpable if something happened, but again, it's to the extent of where do we give up our freedoms and liberties for protection? And that's where the line is being blurred now all over the country in many aspects, not just Disney. And that's what, you know, we've talked about so much, is we can't get to a point where everybody's so scared to do anything or so scared to go outside that we're looking for everybody else to protect us. Learn how to protect yourself. That's why I'm huge in that. I mean, I did martial arts for 10 years. I'm still in the gym on a regular basis. I still carry a firearm. There's nothing like going somewhere and being fully confident that you know how to handle a situation, or you know how to defend your family or your friend's life in the event that something escalates. To go through life and be scared everywhere you go and expect somebody else to protect you, that would be nightmares to me. I can't imagine going through life like that. And that's why I encourage people, you know, even smaller, with smaller frames or females, learn how to do basic martial arts training as far as breakaways, basic takedowns, you know, eye gouges, pressure points, certain things that you may need to do in a situation. You don't have to be, you know, world-class fighting, you know, taekwondo or jiu-jitsu champion, but knowing how to defend yourself, and then, of course, have some type of tool or weapon that you're able to use as well if the situation calls for it. And that's what a lot of people have to understand. The problem is we've built this entire baby cake snowflake generation now that they literally get offended if you look at them wrong or if you use the wrong pronoun that they don't like. Here's a perfect example of this. UK Formula One champion driver Lewis Hamilton had to apologize Tuesday evening for posting a video on social media of him celebrating Christmas with his family because he told his young nephew that boys don't wear princess dresses. This is insane. He was attacked all over social media and in print by transgender activists. There have been calls for the driver to be stripped of his MBE, which is an award from the British Crown for services in the sport that he was in. And one of his sponsors condemned him for it. And the original video, which has now been removed from social media, the celebrity racing driver told fans as he pointed, and this is all the video, he's videotaping his nephew, and his nephew's in like a pink tutu that his sister got, I guess, and so he put it on, and he looks at him and he goes, "I'm so sad right now. Look at my nephew." He goes, "Why are you wearing a princess dress? This is not what you got for Christmas. Boys don't wear princess dresses." That's what he said. And he posted that online and got eviscerated for it, for saying that on his own page. Didn't send it to somebody else. Posted on his own Twitter and basically Instagram page and got eviscerated for it. Had to issue a formal apology on there. And he said, "I meant no harm. I did not mean to offend anybody at all. I love that my nephew feels free to express himself as the way he should. My deepest apologies for my behavior, as I realize it is really not acceptable for anyone, no matter where you are from, to marginalize or stereotype anyone." What? Are you kidding me right now? Is this where we've just stooped down to in this world? The fact that if you post something on social media that offends people, you get eviscerated now, and you have to formally apologize because of threats and basically sponsorship threats? Yes, this is where it's gone to now, guys, to the point that you can't say anything that's offensive to anybody without them absolutely pitching a fit. Like I talked to you yesterday on that video with Crowder, where the girl goes, "If you don't call me by my proper pronouns, I find that to be a form of violence. You're committing an act of violence against me." This is what's going on right now, and this was such a base that Trump had. This is one of the reasons why everybody liked him so much, is because he's like the ultimate anti-politically correct figure, to the extent that he goes overboard sometimes, which just cracks me up because I love it. Because if you guys know me, you know I'm not politically correct whatsoever at all. But this is what everybody has to start going back to. Not necessarily intentionally going out of your way to offend people, but stop apologizing for saying the truth or speaking your opinion. This has gotten so out of hand, guys, that everybody feels like, "Oh, I don't want to offend him. Oh, I offended you myself. Oh, I'm so..." It's nonsense, and the more we do this, guys, the more we're going down to this rabbit trail of where we're not going to be able to come back, to the point that everybody wants protection, nobody wants to be able to protect themselves, and everybody wants to be feel good, 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 happy, happy, happy. Nobody can say anything that I don't like or it's offensive. And that's what I love about our listeners. That's what I love about our customers. I love about our family, everybody. We do what we do best, and that's tell the truth. We speak the truth, and we give you guys the best news we can give you that's unbiased as far as from any of this politically correct garbage, and that's where we're at right now. But I saw that today, and I just, that Formula One driver, and it literally just, it raised my blood pressure, to be honest with you.
I mean,
took some HGH stimulant after I read it.
Well, no, I agree with 100% everything you just said, because, you know, the problem is the slippery slope of political correctness that they've put us on, is that we can't tell people the truth anymore. I mean, if you look like you're a complete and total blithering idiot wearing a girl's dress, and we're supposed to tell you that you're pretty? Are you, like, Bruce Jenner is god-awfully hideous as a woman. And I mean, he's awful. He's like something that nightmares are made out of. I mean, and we're supposed to talk over it. So, oh, how pretty you are, Bruce Jenner, because you want to be a girl? This is so, you know, Austin, if you'd have told me when I was a kid, if you'd have told me back in the 50s, okay, when I was a kid, that people who dress up like women who were guys are supposed to look like a woman and be beautiful, I'd have told you that you're Looney Tunes. I remember a few months ago, I went to the German restaurant that we go to over there, Yalaha's, here in Florida. And it's great German food. I'm really good friends with the owner. And a transgender was there. And she was probably the ugliest man I've ever seen in my whole life. And she's wearing a little tutu, a little frou-frou, a little dress. And she was an ugly man. But to say that she was an ugly woman is like the ultimate understatement of the planet. She was almost mind-numbingly hideous, and she was covered in makeup, and I thought myself, and she had hairy arms, and she had like facial hair, like she hadn't shaved that day, and I thought myself, you're laughing at me, but it's the truth, and I looked at her, and I thought myself, does she really think she looks good? And see, that's the problem, you know, when you start telling, it's like Jim Rohn said, R-O-H-N, Jim Rohn, got a lot of YouTube videos you can watch on YouTube for free for him, phenomenal motivational sales trainer. He said years ago, he goes, look, if you got a garden of weeds, you got to call it a garden of weeds. You can't be calling it a beautiful garden. He says that could become a beautiful garden, but it's not going to be a beautiful garden by you just saying, look at the beautiful garden, it's a garden of weeds. Well, quite frankly, this girl, Yalaha's, was not a beautiful garden. She was a garden of weeds, and there was nothing she could do about it. But telling her how great she looks and trying to enforce that is nuts. And see, that's the problem that we've run into with this political correctness. We can't say anything about anyone now without everybody going completely and totally berserk. And then when you have a large Twitter following like this race car driver did in England, and he makes a comment on his tweets and he puts it out, what ends up happening is he has all of the politically correct bunch that go berserk on him. The one thing nice about our email list with Health Masters is all you guys are pretty much non-politically correct people. It doesn't matter what we say, because all the people who got mad at us in the beginning for saying things we shouldn't ought to say, they stopped listening to the show a long time ago. And so it doesn't matter. So all we're trying to give you is the correct information with the correct news without some kind of politically correct twist on it. By the way, Newsweek magazine apparently now has gone off the deep end. This is from Liberty Headlines. And they're implying that saying Merry Christmas means that you're a Nazi. I don't even know what to do with this. This is President Trump's defense of Christmas means he's an authoritarian. Well, it happened. Newsweek proclaiming saying Merry Christmas means you're a Nazi. Of course, it was always obviously what Christophobes thought, but it took Donald Trump to flush them out. I mean, on Christmas Eve, as noted by Peter Brimlow, Newsweek has come up with this. Quote, Trump isn't the first political figure in history to co-opt Christmas. In fact, some parallels between Trump's speeches in front of Christmas trees and attempts by authoritarian regimes like the Nazis to manipulate popular celebrations to promote political theology. That was the quote. Then it goes on to quote, but by weaponizing Christmas in this way, Trump is bringing a dangerous tradition of politicizing religious holidays into the United States. The far-right's engagement in the war on Christmas explicitly says that there is one single true or correct Christmas. The holiday's true nature is somehow under threat from outsiders and liberals who act as forces of degradation, multiculturalism, secularization, he went on to say. So now, if I say to you, Merry Christmas, I'm a Nazi, you know, I don't really know how to deal with this. I don't know any Nazis. I've never been a Nazi. I mean, I don't even know what to say about Nazis. I wasn't in Germany when the Nazis were running around, and probably no one listening to the show today has, unless they're really, really old. So I don't really understand any of this stuff when they call it. It's like that lady that girl, that 22-year-old girl, when I was off getting off that airplane in Greece, Austin, and she got into this big blowout argument, started screaming at me because I asked her why she thought Trump was a Nazi fascist. She had no reason. She just started yelling. She went berserk. I mean, she was a little bitty snowflake that couldn't think for herself. And when I said, why do you feel this way? She felt threatened because I asked her a question because she couldn't come up with a single reason. So, guys, no. If you say Merry Christmas, you're not a Nazi. You're actually trying to celebrate the birth of Christ, which we know is not at December 25th. I realize that was a pagan holiday that got put into Christendom by the Catholic Church with Constantine back in 323 or whenever it was. I got all that. That's not why, and I realize that you're not supposed to go out and worship trees, okay, and put gold ornaments on them. I got that. I don't worship trees. I'm not a tree worshiper. I use a Christmas tree. I got to tell you this. I've got some emails on this. I don't worship Christmas trees. I don't see Christmas trees as something that I'm worshiping. I see it as a remembrance of what my Christian past has been and my Christmas past has been, even as a child. And I understand that it is not tree worship to me. It is not. So, guys, it's one of those things. I understand there are a lot of pagan holidays folded into the Christmas holiday. That is not at all why I celebrate Christmas, Austin. So I got to let everybody know that. So I always tell them that's not why I'm doing it. What do you think?
That's very interesting. I've heard some of that before. And I mean, even the Christmas trees we have, we always have Jesus stuff on them and all kinds of Christian stuff on them, which is fantastic as well. But also, too, since we're on this whole topic today, also, too, if anybody saw this, the Southern Poverty Law Center now, who's already infamous for labeling just about anybody they don't agree with, including Christians, into the hate group now. Now they put Merry Christmas hashtag and hashtag Jesus on their monitoring hate hashtag list. The Liberty Council basically went in and said now that they're listing those as the on the monitoring hate hashtag. What is the Liberty Council chairman, Matt Stavery, said, the SPLC's idea that Merry Christmas is a hateful, violent slur shows how far out of touch they are from reality. I could have said that any clearer. But this is crazy now that they've actually listed these hashtags now in the hate list now. They're considered essentially hate speech by the Southern Poverty Law Firm. Jesus, by the way, Jesus, hashtag Jesus is listed under the hate speech monitoring ones now, including Merry Christmas and Christmas Eve. This shows you how far they're going to completely remove Christ, Jesus, Yahweh, Yeshua, every aspect of our Christian belief and heritage out of everything they can possibly do, to the point now, even over in France, as you guys know, they let the Muslims run around, pray in the streets, shut down the whole block while they lay on their face. Do that as much as they want. Don't stop it. Don't do anything. Don't have to get a permit. Don't restrict it. Completely impede traffic. Doesn't matter. But now France completely banned the new children's movie, The Christmas Star, because they said it was too Christian to show children. I kid you not. They said this one was judged not enough secular by the teachers. They had not realized before organizing the release that the animated film was about the birth of a certain Jesus, and that essentially they realized there were a problem of the theme being projected, and they stopped showing the film. Unbelievable. But yeah, these guys can run around France, rape, pillage, loot, and lay in the middle of the street on their face anytime they want, and it's all under the protection of their religious beliefs. But forbid we show a Christian movie, a Christmas movie, to the kids in school. That's forbidden now. Unbelievable, Dad, that this is where it's going now. But Southern Poverty Law Firm, Merry Christmas and Jesus are hate speech. Can't show Christian movies to children now. I don't know how much further it can go. I mean, it's point now, it's reaching the point where if this continues to go, a lot of states, liberal states, especially like California, New York, stuff like that, they're probably, I would say, my prediction in the next 5 to 10 years, they're going to start making statutes and laws, essentially, where if you say a certain word or you say a certain topic, you're going to either be fined, arrested, or jailed, or some aspect of that. I already know that. I think in New York, if I'm not mistaken, if you intentionally call somebody by their incorrect pronoun, their transgender, I think if you do it repeatedly and they file like a police report and you continue to do it, they can actually fine you. So it's already started, but now it's going down that road now where it's going to be probably jail time and even worse if you do anything that offends other people, Dad. It's completely gotten out of hand. It's crazy.
Well, you kind of wonder who dropped these people on their head when they were babies. I mean, I know that sounds awful, but that's the truth. I mean, somebody must have dropped these guys on their heads. I mean, something's wrong with their brains. And I mean, who in the world thinks like this and really believes it? It's crazy, absolutely crazy. And by the way, here's another article. Is Tylenol damaging your child's brain? This is an interesting article. The article was written by Peter William Parker, an associate professor at Duke University, where he has worked in the Department of Surgery since 1993. A number of non-peer-reviewed articles have been written and published on the web claiming that there is literally nothing to fear about from taking Tylenol while you're pregnant, and there are two types of articles that fall into this category. First, reputable watchdog organizations, and second, who say it's been linked to autism. The second type of article is generally written by a scientist writer working for an organization that runs websites. There are a number of university professors who have studied the use of Tylenol on the devastating brain, on the developing brain, and who are keenly aware of the potential dangers. And it says, being an expert in acetaminophen neurotoxicity during development means that considerable time has been invested in studying these issues. There are, as of January the 17th, a total of 8 published studies evaluating the long-term effects of children and Tylenol during pregnancy in school. So now they're saying it is neurotoxic to the developing brain. That's what it says. It says that do not take Tylenol if you are pregnant. It says that it actually substantially alters brain chemistry and temporarily impairs awareness of social issues in adults. The testing of acetaminophen, Tylenol, safety in children did not include any evaluation of the brain function, and no long-term studies were conducted. So this is interesting to me that now we're finding out that Tylenol can actually cause damage to a developing fetus's brain, and quite frankly, I really think you need to pay attention to that, I've mentioned so many times, that women who are pregnant need to do their absolute best to avoid all drugs while they're pregnant. What do you think, Austin?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. That was one thing that I was very adamant about with Lana, and I was blessed that I married such an incredibly awesome wife that she was willing to listen to me and follow my guidance, because she knows how long I've done this for, how I was raised with you, Dad, and all the education that I've learned and just experience that I've gotten over the last years. And so when we found out, especially the second one's been easy now because we already kind of know how to dial everything in. But the first one was all new. You don't know what you're doing. You're about to have a kid. You're kind of like, okay, we're just going to play this by ear. But one thing I was adamant about is I was like, no drugs. And she's already good about this. Painkillers as far as no Tylenol, which I don't use Tylenol anyways, but ibuprofen, aspirin, anything like that, even caffeine. She won't even drink caffeine products whenever she is pregnant at all. Not that she uses them regularly, but occasionally, she's had a cup of coffee here or there. Won't do it when she's pregnant. Absolutely won't do it. Tries to eat 100% like non-GMO food all the time. We really don't even go out to eat very often when she's pregnant. I mean, we've probably gone out to eat maybe 5 or 6 times the entire pregnancy. Most of the stuff we bring home, as far as in cooking the house, that way we know what we're eating, because I tell people this, and for some people, this concept eludes them. You only have 9 months. That's it. It's only 9 months to build this baby. And after the baby's out and you're breastfeeding, especially when you're done breastfeeding, if you want to be more lenient and slack on your diet, it's up to you. That affects your body. But when you are building a child inside of your body for 9 months, it is imperative, it is crucial that you monitor everything you're putting in your body. You have to nowadays with all the toxins and pesticides and glyphosate and everything out there, do you know what's going in your body, especially with the water as well? Because you have 9 months, and what you do in those 9 months are going to directly affect that person, that child, when they turn into an adult. It's going to affect their life for the next 70, 80, 90 years. 90 years until they check out. And not to mention that, with epigenetics and what we've seen with the genetically modifying, what you do while you're pregnant building that child can negatively or positively affect their children in the future. So it's so important, guys, that you really do the best you can as far as if your wife or if you're expectant mother are trying to, you do the best you can to eat as clean as possible while you're pregnant. Take the proper prenatals and do everything you can to avoid drugs, Tylenol, ibuprofen, all that stuff. Don't touch it at all. I mean, I don't ever recommend it. You know, obviously if something happens and you're at the doctor, something specific, then you have to follow the advice of your doctor. You have to do whatever you do there. But on another aspect of it, don't be doing all this other stuff, Dad. It's just not worth the likelihood of having an issue in the future and having to deal with that later on.
Well, it's like women who drink alcohol during pregnancy and they end up with a child with alcohol. Yeah. Fetal alcohol. I mean, you know, and I'm not picking on women here, but, you know, you got to think through the fact that you're going to have to raise this child. I mean, and if you cause brain damage in this child because of what you've done, then you got to deal with that for at least 18 years. Or you have to put the child in the state custody and get rid of the child. But somebody's got to deal with it for the rest of their life. So it's not really worth having a baby if you're not really going to take care of your body when you're pregnant, both prenatally, during the pregnancy, and while you're breastfeeding. It's better just to go ahead and not have any kids. I mean, I'm okay with that. People don't have kids, that's okay too. But I mean, if you're going to do it and you got to deal with it, because I've got four children. And, you know, and I know that when the kids are good, they're good. When they're bad, they're bad. And they're a handful, especially when they turn into teenagers, Austin. But the reality is this, you know, you got to give them every advantage you possibly can, because when you check off the planet, they're still going to be here. I just spoke to a man. I had to have one of my vehicles towed in today. And the black guy came, a real nice black guy. Man, he was nice. And the reason I'm telling you he's black is not because I'm being a racist, because I'm going to tell you why I'm telling you he's black right now. He was hooking up the car, and we started talking and towing it, and he started talking about I started talking about my kids, and he started talking about his kids. And he says, well, I've got a little boy who's like 4 years old who has autism. And I looked at him, I said, you know, immunizations have a much higher incident of affecting black boys with autism than white kids. He said, I tell you what, Ted, he goes, my kid was perfect until they got the immunizations, and then he started going sideways, and now it's awful. And I think Tompkins did that, released that study, because that was information that was shredded by the CDC. Now, what's interesting about this stuff is that, you know, when he broke and blew the whistle on it, didn't get any national coverage. But black people have been targeted by these immunizations even more so than white people have, as far as causing autism in their children, especially black boys. And so he started talking to me about it, and he was telling me how he can't do this, little son can't do this, can't do that. I felt so bad for him. I said, here's the thing. Don't do any more immunizations. Don't do any more. Just don't do any more. He goes, well, how do you get away from that? So we're standing on the side of the road about to tow a vehicle, and I'm giving him all this information. That's how strongly I believe in this stuff, guys. I don't care if I'm standing on the side of the road, not trying not to get run over by cars, I'm trying to tow a vehicle off, or meeting you in the grocery store parking lot. If I see you and I get a chance to talk to you and I find out you've got kids, I'm going to tell you, you need to really evaluate autistic kids, and you need to really evaluate whether you want to try to raise one, and then you need to really do your research on what happens with immunizations. It's something that we all have to do on an ongoing basis. It's like trying to get people saved. If you've got people coming to your house on a regular basis and they're not saved, and you're not talking to them about Jesus, you might want to consider that relationship and realize that if you know who Christ is and you're a Christian, and they don't know who Christ is and they're not a Christian, that they're not really going to do well for eternity. It's not going to be a good thing for them. And you might want to try to help them out on that and talk to them about Christ. Personally, when I have people who aren't saved and they come to the house, if various reasons, if they come here more than once, I'm always talking to them about Jesus, because I'm using that as a tool to try to get them saved, because we need to be about our Father's business while we're here. We need to constantly be trying to help people. And to me, if this guy calls me back and asks me questions about his son, then I'm also going to ask him about church and all the other things. But guys, we need a foot opener trying to get information to people to try to help them with immunizations, with diet, with eating clean, eating pork, you know, with going to church, getting saved, all of these things. Now, if you first meet somebody and you know you'll meet them again, and they and you ask them about Christianity, and you shove a water hose down their throat or a fire hose down their throat, and you try to just force feed them everything they don't want to hear right then, that's not going to be very effective. But I will say, even that's better than doing nothing. Okay, but just gradually let people get a little bit of information and try to lead them down the path of getting saved and eating clean and everything else. And ladies, men, think through this for a second. If you're marrying a girl, or let's say you're engaged to a girl, or you've got a girlfriend, and she likes to party, and she likes to get drunk, and she likes to smoke dope, and marijuana, and use cocaine, and all those different types of things, do you really want her doing those behavioral patterns and doing those things if she gets pregnant with your child inside of her? Sometimes we need to grow up before we get pregnant. The Bible says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. When I became an adult, I left the childish ways behind me. I had a man call me up last year, and he was out in Montana. And he basically had an affair on his wife and got the girl pregnant. She's like 20 years younger than him, 30 years younger than him. I think the girl was like 21 or 22. I'm not going to give any names. And the guy basically ended up back with his wife, but the girl now has his child, and she's doing full immunizations. And he asked me, he called me, what can I do to stop this? I said, dude, you should have thought about this before you had the affair on your wife. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you know exactly what I mean. I said, I have no idea what to tell you. I can't help you to correct a problem that you have no idea if this girl is going to eat clean or not clean. I said, guys, here's the thing. I'm talking to guys right now. You got to really think through this. I don't know how I got so preachy today. I'm sorry to be surprised. I'm not trying to preach at you guys. I'm trying to let you know how I've learned a lot of this stuff. When you're dating, and if you're secular and you're not Christian and you're not saved, or if you are saved and you're having a physical relationship, a sexual relationship with a girl that you're dating, you know, you need to really evaluate how important this relationship is to you and what would happen if this girl got pregnant. And you need to take precautions, not make it your girlfriend's responsibility not to get them pregnant. You know, and there's all kinds of, you know, things that you can do for that. I'm not going to cover that because we have children listening here on the show today. But guys, it's so important that you understand that you have to decide on who you want to marry before you marry them, and hopefully before they get pregnant. Because I've seen that over and over and over again. Also, when people marry somebody, they don't know them very well, and the person turns into a complete lunatic, and they're like, how in the world did I get into this mess? But now the person's pregnant. Now you're linked to that person for the next, well, forever. You know, that baby's going to be growing up, and you're going to have to always deal with the baby's mom, in most cases, for the rest of your life. So think through these things. And I was kind of like that. When I finally got into graduate school and I got saved at Florida State, I started really evaluating. I was in my, you know, 21, 20, I think I was 23. I started really evaluating who I wanted to go out with and if they were a long-term person I really wanted to date. Because quite frankly, if you're fighting all the time and you're just dating, there's a high probability you're going to fight all the time when you get married. You got to work through a lot of these things to start with. I'll get off of that. I'm done with that. By the way, here's something that's interesting. This happened.
Let me add in the vaccine thing, man. There's an article that I wanted to bring up on this, and you tied it in perfectly, because this is a video that a Dr. Bob Zajac did. That's Bob. His last name is Zajac. You can watch this interview with him, especially if you want to send it to friends that are considering vaccinating or trying to get more information. This is pretty intense. I won't go into all of it, but basically I'll give you a brief synopsis on it. He is a board-certified pediatrician with expertise in asthma and allergy care, along with development and behavioral pediatric care and natural holistic care. He received his degree in child development, another 4 years of training in a PhD program, followed by his medical degree at the University of Minnesota and his residency training there as well. Prior to starting New Kingdom Pediatrics, Dr. Bob completed his Master's of Business degree as well. So what happened was he got his PhD, doctor, pediatrician, started his own practice, and was totally, well, I'll read it to you. This is where Dr. Zajac starts out in the interview by explaining medical doctors do not receive hardly any training in vaccines. So So he had to spend years researching vaccines independently once he woke up. He began his research after seeing some of his patients get injured from vaccines. During the first 2 years of his practice, Zajac explains he saw a separation among his patient population. He said there were patients who were seeing local chiropractors, eating healthy, taking supplements instead of medication. They also had lower vaccine uptakes, and they were extremely healthy, and that was hard for me to recognize. He said, my partially unvaccinated or non-vaccinated patients, and none of us like them as far as pediatricians, quite honestly. He said, back then, they were going against their medical doctor's advice, and with the ego that I had, it was very hard to swallow. It took me a couple years to start learning about vaccines, and the moment I started reading research about vaccines, it changed my life forever. Dr. Zajac admits he used to be a vaccine bully because his clinic needed to achieve certain vaccine rates. We've talked about this all the time, such as Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and their bonus structure. He said, but his attitude changed as he started making decisions about vaccinating his own children, and his own clinical practice had shown that the rates of vaccine injuries were not what the CDC and drug companies were claiming, such as 1 in 1 million. He said they're usually more like 1 out of 100, if not worse, being hospitalized from vaccine injuries that he was applying. And it all changed in 2007. He said, I experienced my first regression to autism in one of my patients. Now, we've all heard the same story, that they were born with autism, the doctor didn't know that they had autism. No, that's not true at all. He goes, my background is in childhood development. I was working with kids with special needs. I had a perfectly normal child that was completely healthy in my practice until he received the 12-month vaccine, and I didn't hear anything from them for 5 months. He goes, when I walked in the room at their 17-month visit, I literally saw a child that I never met before. I thought I walked into the wrong room. I stepped out to make sure I was in the right room because I did not recognize this child. He had regressed into full autism, one of the saddest cases that I've ever seen, and it completely changed my life. Then another medical event happened that opened up his eyes even further. A few years later, we had a patient die after he had his shots. They called it SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, at 2 in the afternoon, a few hours after his vaccine. He said he even recalls the conversation he had that day. The coroner asked the ER doctor, do you think this was related to the vaccines the child had earlier today? The doctor said, absolutely not. There's no way it could have been from the vaccines. Implying, of course, the vaccines are perfectly safe without zero type of testing or evidence to show that they are. He said to all medical doctors who are watching this, I am sure the parents know more about the vaccines than you do. There are only a handful of doctors in this country who know as much about vaccines as these parents do, because once your child is injured by a vaccine, you'll never stop researching it. So this is a good video if you guys want to send this to new parents or parents that are considering vaccinating Dr. Bob Zajac, because this isn't some, you know, they're labeled as a conspiracy theory or this, that. This guy has a laundry list of degrees, including a PhD. He did his own practice. He used to be a vaccine pusher. He lived that life until he woke up, and now is flipped over on the complete opposite side and doing the best he can to wake up families and other doctors on the dangers and effects that these vaccines have on the children. So I highly recommend, if you have a family member or friends that are considering vaccinating, let them watch this, because this isn't, you know, the Ted and Austin Brower show or any type of other articles that you're trying to shove at them. This is a pediatrician, PhD, who was in that world, saw it firsthand, and actually woke up and is now trying to wake up other people, Dad.
I want you to send me that link, and I want you to post that link on our website. All right?
Okay.
Because I want everybody to have access to that. That's an excellent, excellent article, and it needs to be heard. And again, another one you can do is send them the movie Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. You can get it on Netflix for like a buck or whatever. And, you know, that's the other one you can get. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can do to get people awake rather than trying to fire hose them if you see them with a kid. Quite frankly, I got a feeling if you saw that they saw this video and saw the Vax video, here's what happened. I've got a niece. Her name's Julie. And she has two children. And I remember she had her kids and she's in her late 30s, early 40s. And she was a late mom. And she had two boys, and they were both super healthy. And she called me up one day and said they were going to their doctor and going to get immunized. And I said, you really need to consider this. And she goes, what do you mean? And she kind of got into an argument with me. And I said, Julie, I said, I'm not trying to convince you. I'm going to send you some links, and you can read through it. And I sent her about 10 links, and she read through them. She called me back. She goes, is this real? And I said, yeah, it's real. And she goes, you got some more you can send me? And I sent her about 10 more. And she called me back, and she goes, is this still real? And I said, yeah, it's still real, Julie. And she goes, she finally, after about 30 articles and videos, she emailed me back. She goes, why would people vaccinate? That's what she said. And I said, well, because they don't know, Julie. They simply don't know. Now, her little boys, leader in the class, straight A students, just, I mean, light years among the other students, like a giant walking among men as far as their intellectual capacity with the other students. Why? Because they haven't been dumbed down with mercury. They haven't been dumbed down with aluminum. They haven't been dumbed down with all these different chemicals and drugs, and now they're putting these kids that are have vaccine problems, they're putting them on Prozac, trying to calm them down and tricyclic antidepressants. So she always calls me up and always thanks me. And then she had another friend of hers, Austin, who she sent the same links to, who was pregnant with her. And she said, I want to go ahead and send it to so-and-so. I said, okay. I said, we got to follow up with it. Well, the girl didn't listen. She got all of her vaccinations, and after about... when the baby was born, they got the one shot, and then a few months later they got more shots, and the baby died from sudden infant death and dead. And Julie said the girl was devastated, and Julie was devastated. She goes, Ted, I don't know what to do. She goes, I told her, I tried to warn her, and she wouldn't listen, and her baby died. I said, yeah, I know. Now you got to let it go. She already knows what happened now, guys. That's not the story you need to hear. You want to be Julie's story. I've got another friend of mine. His name's Chris. He lives over in Celebration. He got four kids. And when they got pregnant, I called him up and I said, dude, you need to stop all this, not think about all this. He goes, well, no, we're going to vaccinate. My wife wants to vaccinate. I said, your wife wants to vaccinate? I said, have you given her information on this? Well, this is her choice. And I'm like, you need to get your head out of your rear side and make her realize that this is not okay because you're the other person involved with this. So I did. I had his wife's email and her text. I started sending her emails. And then she finally called me back. She goes, can you send me some more of that information? I want to make a decision based upon facts, not upon emotion. I said, sure. So finally she emails me back. She goes, I'm not doing any vaccination. This is nuts. And so she didn't do any vaccination. And her kids are in private school, number one in their class, straight A students, like giant among men, among children with their intellect. Why? Because they're dealing in a cross-section of the population that's not been poisoned with mercury or aluminum. That's why they're so intelligent when they don't get immunized, because everybody else has been so dumbed down. I mean, 100 years ago, they may not have been that smart compared to everybody else, also, or even 50 years ago. But now, because the bulk of the population is so dumbed down with the glyphosate poisoning and the immunizations and the aluminum and the adjuvants, that when you just give these kids a step up, a foot up, it really gives them the ability to do a lot of things that a lot of kids simply can't do because of heavy metal toxicity. By the way, let me do another article on Sweden. Citizen journalist dies after announcing a video exposing the leftist organization in Sweden bringing in immigration people by George Soros. Vector Rabbini, he was a migrant who became a genuine Swedish nationalist, was well known for his opposition to mass immigration and multiculturalism. He was found dead this week in his apartment, shortly after releasing a video about Robert Ashberg, director of a communist organization funded by George Soros, who is a cutout for the Rothschild banking Sabbatean cartel. Guys, even the people there in Sweden who realize what's going on and are trying to tell the other people what's going on, they simply don't want to know the truth because they don't want people telling them the truth. And so apparently in Sweden, you can end up getting in a situation where you get basically, they find you dead if you talk about George Soros. What do you think about this story, Oz?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I guarantee you, if you found the body count, I guarantee you it's right up there with Hillary Clinton and stuff, where these guys are involved in and trying to shut people up that have any type of opposition towards them whatsoever. And there's some pretty weird stuff. Also, too, last article I wanted to touch base on today. Now, the FCC on Wednesday, for the first time, has now approved a device that can wirelessly recharge electronics up to 3 feet away. The corporation's WattUp device lets users charge their electronics regardless of the manufacturer without being connected to the charger through the use of radio frequencies. They said wireless charging technology has made small steps in the consumer market in recent years, but all the current offerings still require the device to be touching the charger. This one will charge it up to 3 feet away. as the issue with this is that this would be very convenient. I get the aspect of that, but also too, you guys got to think about how much radiation and all these frequencies we're getting bathed in now all the time. We already have Wi-Fi on. They're already trying to do 5G. Now we're going to have wireless charging floating around the house, and the FCC approved it. So this is just something I kind of wanted to touch base on and bring it up because it's definitely a weird topic, is because most people use this stuff all the time in their lives with electronics now. But again, it really, in my opinion, all this stuff is really coming to a head. It really causing a lot of health issues down the road with being exposed to this stuff all the time, Dad.
Absolutely. Turn off your Wi-Fi routers at night and don't use wireless charging systems. You have to be in proximity to them, especially driving down the road. By the way, a pro-communist Antifa member is hit by a truck while protesting a Christian rally. Sorry to laugh. In Portland, an activist with an Antifa movement was hit by a truck Saturday when he ran into traffic, as confirmed by this video that I'm looking at. He was protesting against an event called March for Jesus. In this video, he is seen referring to a Christian flag as a white supremacist symbol shortly before he was struck by the vehicle. I'm sorry to laugh, guys, but, you know, these guys are so disgusting to me that, you know, sometimes people kind of get what they deserve. And he wasn't killed, or I wouldn't be laughing. But it got his attention very, very quickly. Maybe he needs to thank God Almighty he's not dead. Maybe he needs to do something like that. Who knows? But, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your mobile vitamins from us. Thank you for just praying for us on an ongoing basis. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. And I just want you to know something, guys. One for you guys, we wouldn't be here. Thanks again so much. I'll do the write-up, Austin, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Go ahead and close.
Absolutely. With the guy running out in traffic, it's always a phrase I always joke around all the time. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I always thought it was funny to be who is the first idiot to run out in traffic when you see them stop intersections and stop interstates with their protests, a lot of these guys like to do. I always go, who's the first numbnut that has to run out in traffic to try to stop 70-mile-an-hour vehicles? But obviously, this guy didn't do too well at his job and got hit by a vehicle. So it is what it is, man. You run out in traffic, you're going to get hit by vehicles. So, but yeah, other than that, guys, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your emails. We've had a little email glitch on the contact form, so some of the stuff has gotten backed up. We're trying to get that updated right now and get that fixed. So if you haven't gotten a response, that is why a lot of them have gotten deleted. So we're trying to go back in and recover them. Also, too, on the website, if you need to get a hold of us, you can always call us at 1-800-726-1834 or check out the website at healthmasters.com 24/7. That is up. Also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week. That is our joint rebuilding formula. That's a great formula that really helps out rebuilding soft tissue. That's on sale for over 10% off this week. And there's also a lot of other fresh products that we put up for voting, including our New Zealand beef jerky that we get out of Dade City. Here, great product. I was just eating a bag of it earlier, and a lot of good products on there to vote on, so be sure to check that out on the website at healthmasters.com. Vote for the products that you want to win, and be sure to check out also, too, the kits we have on the front page of the website, as most of you guys have seen. There's lots of specials we have running all the time that you can get there, including three-pack specials and the Purple Stick three-pack specials as well. So we appreciate everything from you guys. Thank you for the support. Thank you for everything you do for us. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.